Hello, and welcome to the latest edition of the Kurdistan Connection with myself, Matt Broomfield, for Medji News. My guest today is someone who will probably be a familiar face to those of you who follow the Medji News podcast and output, Mark Campbell, a long-term contributor to Medji News from the outset and also an even longer-term journalist, advocate, activist, following and supporting the Kurdish cause. As people may well be aware if they're tuning into this, Mark has recently undergone, together with a Kurdish woman, Beritan, a very difficult process, or is still undergoing a difficult process, stemming from allegations that Mark and Beritan held a flag associated with the militant Kurdish political movement at a demonstration in London, following which they were issued with charges under the Terror Act. It sounds dystopian, it is, and so I'm very glad that we've got Mark with us today to speak a bit about the trial which has just happened, the outcomes, and what's going to happen next. So Mark, thank you for joining us today. It's always good to see you.
You're very welcome, Matt. It's lovely to be here.
Of course. Maybe just to begin, just briefly, in case people aren't aware, could you in a couple of minutes summarise why you ended up in the dock?
Yeah, so it was actually 2 years ago now. It was back in April 2022, and Turkey had just invaded northern Iraq and was shelling villages, and Kurdish civilians were being attacked, and there was all sorts of allegations of chemical weapons use. And there was the Kurdish community in London organized a demonstration against Turkey's invasion of northern Iraq. And so, as usual, hordes of police, I mean, it was just the disproportionate amount of police who came to police this demonstration, which was really quite shocking. And then, yeah, it was... We sort of went from the BBC and we went down through central London, Piccadilly, to Whitehall. And there were some young people. I was actually just taking photographs on that day, supposed to be just taking photographs on that day. And there were some young people who had a very large flag. The flag was the contested symbol in our two-day trial in Westminster Magistrates Court. And with the flag, they had a very large sign saying that the PKK is not a terrorist organization at the front of this very large flag. And then at the back, they also had a handwritten sign saying, we don't believe the PKK is a terrorist organization as well. And so there was one small incident in Piccadilly where one of the young people fell, and I picked up the flag for her and started to make a speech about how you cannot have any peaceful resolution to the Kurdish issue without decriminalizing one side of that conflict. And then we got right the way down to Whitehall, and again, I don't know why, but I'm always so shocked by the level of state intervention in these peaceful demonstrations by Kurdish exiles who have fled the most barbaric repression in Turkey. And yet here we had, entering Whitehall, about 100 police, all stoked up and sort of very aggressive, and encircled the demonstration, kettled us, and then sent in these, like, you know, people are just looking at them, you know, and I think, why are you getting so aggressive? Why are you getting so angry? And they steam into the demonstration, grab people and, you know, drag them around the corner and, you know, start questioning them very aggressively. And this is, again, I was just like incensed, and I just went and I picked up a very large flag and went to the back of the demonstration and sort of held it up, and again started with a long speech about, you know, this is exactly what happens in Turkey. Kurds are criminalized. How can there be ever be a solution to the Kurdish issue with the criminalization of one side of the whole issue? You know, talking about the Brussels case and just generally trying to bring context to this flag. And I saw again about 15 police approaching me, and they jumped on me, and one of the police started battering one of the friends I was next to because he was like trying to hold on to the flag, literally assaulted him, very aggressively assaulted him. And then I was dragged away around the corner and told that I was going to be charged under the Terrorism Act because I held a symbol or flag that would give any reasonable bystander the idea that I was a member or a supporter of a proscribed organization.
And do you think, because it kind of it, sort of as you sort of tell the story now, it seems a bit strange to me that, you know, police policing a demonstration would be, you know, you'll say to you, you're going to be charged under the Terrorism Act. Do you think they had kind of set out that day knowing that they had the plan or the possibility to bring those kind of charges against somebody, or, you know, sort of, it's quite
that, that is that it, that's basically the crux of it. That's 100%. You know, the whole setup of the police at the very beginning of the demonstration, you know, again, this was a very small demonstration by about 40 people who wanted to protest against Turkey's invasion of Iraq. And we had at the beginning, you know, we had the whole sort of bronze, silver, gold command system, you know, that you have for huge demonstrations. You know, you have these sort of control systems for absolutely massive demonstrations like the old CND or, you know, Stop the War Coalition, the Palestine demonstrations. You don't have them for such a tiny... You know, so there was obviously a huge political aspect of this that that obviously the police had been told in no uncertain terms before the demonstration that if there is any sign, you know, of any Kurdish flag that the Turkish government have told us, you know, to criminalize, that we have to pounce on it straight away. And this is obviously something very serious that has been agreed at a much higher level between the governments, you know, that and we are there obviously to implement this. And this is really the crux of it, you know. It's anyway, that so that's the background.
Yeah. So yeah, so you were charged, you were brought to trial yourself and various.
So actually we weren't actually charged straight away. Mm. Apparently there's a 6-month limitation to, you know, the police have to charge you within 6 months or the charges are dropped, basically. And it was literally on the last day of that 6 months that I got a letter pop through my door. Again, quite shocking. I mean, I don't know why, after 30 years of being a pro-Kurdish rights campaigner, even I was really, really shocked that I get this letter charging me under the Terrorism Act 2000, brackets 13, brackets 1, you know. And I just thought to myself, really? Are you really serious? You know, I'm being charged under the Terrorism Act for holding a flag. And that's kind of, you know, that kind of stuck with me the whole way through. Even during the trial, I was standing in the dock 2 days and I was just pinching myself sometimes. You know, really? Are we standing here, you know, being criminalized by the British state for holding a flag, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's
in the course of this trial, did you kind of get the opportunity to make again some of these arguments you mentioned, that the British government is not acting in its own interests, that it's criminalizing a political issue and so on?
Yeah, I mean, quite surprisingly, we had we weren't sure at the beginning of the trial whether the magistrate was going to allow these sorts of discussions to come up, but really surprisingly, they did. And we, I had a great barrister, I have to say. She was involved in a case in Australia. It was a PKK case. So she, you know, she has great knowledge and knew a lot about the history of the Kurdish, you know, the Kurdish struggle and everything. And so, yeah, she was able to, you know, so we used the, essentially the case was that, and it's actually true. I mean, it might come as a surprise to some people, but that flag that we now, lots of people do associate with the PKK, that flag was the flag of the ERMK, which was an organization that was around in 1982, up until 2000. And it was especially poignant for the Kurdish diaspora because it was a movement of the Kurdish, it was a part of the Kurdish movement who came to Europe to push for a peaceful political solution to the Kurdish issue. And so it was disbanded in 2000, but the flag always held that power with Kurdish people all over the world. And so our contention was that this was the flag. Actually, you got it wrong in the first place, that this is the flag of the ERNK. And then through that, we were able to talk about deprescription. We were able to talk about the because my co-defendant Beritan was holding a flag with that flag and also a picture of Abdullah Öcalan. We were able then to talk also about the ideas of Abdullah Öcalan and the feminist revolution in Rojava and all the sort of the ideas of democratic nation, basically, that that Abdullah Öcalan formed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, so you were kind of had the opportunity to make these arguments, but ultimately that's not what this case was decided on.
Yeah, but I mean, to be honest, in the end, and this is the surprising thing why in some ways I was surprised, in some ways I wasn't, but I was really surprised because the judge had accepted that, and the prosecution and the defense, everybody has accepted that context was everything. Mm. It was the context of, you know, how you were holding the flag. You know, Detective Sergeant Hearing, who apparently is like the so-called expert of the Metropolitan Police on prescribed flags, even he had to admit the flag itself is not illegal. It's just how it is held. You know, it's the context of how the flag is held. And in every case, you know, every video, in every, the prosecution were forced to read out my article from Media News about why I held up the flag in the first place. And they had to read out, they thought they just were going to read out the title, but then my defense barrister said, well, if you're going to read out one part, you have to read out the whole part. So the prosecution actually read out that whole article. And if you go back to that article, you know, it really sets out the context by which, and the reasons why I held the flag to talk about deprescription and to talk obviously everybody knows that without the decriminalization of this Kurdish issue there's going to be continued war, there's not going to be the opportunity for a peaceful resolution of the issue, which is more needed now than ever before. Turkey cannot continue to treat the Kurdish issue as a, you know, as an issue of security and treat it in a military way. At some point, you know, it's got to realize that there has to be a political solution to it.
Yeah. And so in terms of just your case, so now ultimately you were found guilty.
So as I was saying, I was really quite shocked because we seemed to win all the arguments in the court. At the end of the case, everybody was sort of high-fiving each other like we'd won, you know, because the judge seemed to accept all the arguments, and you know, the police were wrong on so many points. You know, they couldn't even identify some flags that we that we brought up. The context was clear. So I was really quite, and even Article 10 was brought up, freedom of expression issues around freedom of expression. There was about a 15, 20 minute head-to-head between one of the barristers and the judge about freedom, you know, freedom about and again, the judge seemed to agree almost, you know, but not quite. And I think the barristers were saying afterwards that they thought perhaps that this judge is maybe fairly new, a younger judge, and maybe didn't have the confidence to go and set a new precedent, basically, because that's what it would need. And to go against, you know, the government's foreign policy, essentially, because at the end of the day, that's what's happened, that our laws are now politicized. It's gone so far that our laws are now politicized in favor of one of the world's worst human rights abusers in the world, Turkey.
Yeah.
And we've seen that, haven't we, also with the Palestinian demonstrations where people are being arrested simply for holding a Palestinian flag. I don't know when those cases will come to court, but obviously this case, you know, has come to court, and it's a very worrying precedent, I think.
Yeah, certainly. And I suppose as well as the context of repression on other protesters, for example, in the Palestinian cause, your case is not the only incidence of the Kurdish community facing discrimination and repression in the UK, seemingly at Turkey's behest. Perhaps you could speak a bit about the broader context.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously this has been going on, you know, for the 30 years that I've been involved in campaigning on the Kurdish issue, this has been going on under the radar, which most people don't see. It's interestingly always at a time where there are arms deals being made, where there are trade deals being made. For example, Theresa May in 2018 signed a very large arms deal with Erdogan when he came to London. And literally, so obviously, just a couple of weeks before, a young Kurdish family's house was raided by armed police. The charges were dropped within, you know, a year, but the police pursued them. And all they were involved in was, you know, there's a Kurdish newspaper that's published in Germany, Özgür Politika. And it's a perfectly legal newspaper, in Germany and here. And they were being charged under the Terrorism Act. Again, it's just like completely fabricated, sort of made up sort of stuff that's really, really very serious, but is obviously just, constructed to show to Turkey, look, we are cracking down, which is very worrying. And then Grant Shapps, again, just made a very big, went to Turkey and stood in the mausoleum of Kemal Atatürk and, you know, swore allegiance to the Turkish, you know, bloody regime, and made, you know, and more trade deals. And then again, literally just a couple of days later, like up to 100 police are trying to get into the Kurdish community center, you know, like 100 police attacking the Kurdish community center. Again, just trying to literally criminalize the Kurdish community.
Do you have any thoughts on why, because the demonstration where you were arrested, as you've said, you know, the Kurdish community protests a lot. It's not unusual to see flags like the one you held at these events.
Yeah.
Normally the police don't arrest people. What was the deal with the timing? It was just kind of bad luck for you that you were the one they happened to pick up, or why would they target this demonstration in particular?
I don't know. I think I've noticed after that visit of Erdogan in 2018. I have noticed a steady increase in repression against the Kurdish community in London and the UK. I think Turkey are probably, I can only surmise, you know, I think Turkey are probably putting a lot of pressure on the British government to crack down on Kurdish exiles and the Kurdish issue. Why me in particular, I don't know. I mean, could it be that I'm, you know, a high profile Kurdish rights campaigner? Interestingly, on the day of my trial, literally on the day of my trial, there were three articles published in Turkey accusing me of accusing me of all sorts of weird and wonderful things that are completely and utterly libelous and completely and utterly untrue. But that was just quite interesting as well. You know, right on the day of the trial, that three articles appear in the Turkish media about Mark Campbell, you know, who's a terrorist supporter and recruiter of young people to go to the mountains, which is just extraordinary. And if they were in this country, I would have, I'd like, absolutely take them to court over libel, but obviously they're in Turkey. So I don't know. Perhaps they did target me, but I really don't know.
So yeah, maybe we're coming to the end now of our time together. So maybe just to finish, you know, these issues are concerning, of course, to people who are follow the Kurdish cause, who are interested in Kurdish rights, Kurdish expression. Is there also a broader issue here? You kind of touched on a bit about civil rights and free expression in the UK in general.
I think there is that aspect of it. There is the Article 10 freedom of expression aspect of it. And, you know, the way that our laws are now politicized in, you know, in favor of repressive regimes. But I think the main message that I want people to take away from this, because it will be hopefully, you know, people who are already interested in the Kurdish issue, we really, really have to tackle this criminalization aspect. You know, we have to try and think of ways that we can challenge these criminalization laws, inventive, sort of innovative, trying to think around how to, you know, to challenge these laws in sort of, you know, creative ways. Because the criminalization aspect of the Kurdish issue is 100% the most important thing. And I think the one thing that that has been good about this case is that we've started to talk about, you know, we've started to talk about how the British government criminalized the Kurdish community. And we need to widen and strengthen this kind of campaign. People need to come forward with their stories about how they've been affected by this type of criminalization and intimidation. And we need to stand up to it, because it is essentially state bullying, you know, on behalf of one of the world's worst oppressive regimes. And I think that I think it's really time for us all to stand up together and to challenge the criminalization of the Kurdish people's legitimate struggle against racism and forced assimilation attempts by the Turkish state. And so with that in mind, I hope that people do take that on board and focus on that. We will be appealing this case. We're going to take it to a higher court. So anybody who, you know, and we're trying to widen it out. So if anybody wants to get involved, they're very welcome to contact me through my social media accounts to help us in a creative, inventive way to carry on challenging the criminalization of the Kurdish people's struggle by close trading partners of Turkey like the UK.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's extremely important. It touches on a lot of the issues that we're very concerned with. And yeah, of course, you know, we're sorry that you had to go through this.
It's relative. I mean, some people are sitting, 20,000 people are sitting in Turkish jails, you know, for this exact type of thing. They're also labeled as terrorists. And that exactly shows you know, how this policy works in Turkey and why it is so worrying that it is now being brought to the UK.
Yes, absolutely. And I do think it's, you know, it's one of these things, if people, you know, the man on the street, we'll have this explained to them, they would be, there, you know, people would be against this, you know.
Totally.
It's very...
I mean, I've got used to closing people's mouths, because when I'm telling people about it, they go, close your mouth. Everybody is shocked, you know, completely and utterly shocked that this is
happening. Yeah, I've experienced much the same with my... my various views, which can be the subject of another
podcast.
But yeah, thank you, Mark, for coming today. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Matt.
Thank you for everything you're doing and that you've done for the Kurdish cause, and we hope we'll have you join us here again soon, maybe with a positive result in the future on this important case. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Matt, and say hello to everybody.
We will do. This has been the Kurdistan Connection with myself, Matt Broomfield. Until the next show, goodbye.